Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week begins to unfold, but we also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you have been busy this week preparing for a variety of things, but I appreciate you here in the middle of the week sitting down with me and looking backwards at this past weekend.
It's good to be here. Good to have our podcast family with us. This past Sunday, I presented a lesson about the Bible. We entitled it, The Bridge That God Has Built. And we used the illustration of a bridge. And the Word of God or the Bible is not just a book. God just didn't want to be an author like other authors. There was an intention and a purpose behind that book. And that book is meant to show us God. And what we're trying to connect there with the idea of a bridge is without that bridge, you cannot get to God. Nature shows us there's something else out there. We look in anthropology and other sciences, and we find that other civilizations in the past, they've worshipped the sun, the moon, the rivers, all kinds of things. But no one knows his name. No one knows what he wants. No one knows what we're supposed to do without some specifics from him. So that bridge is the Bible. And when we cross that bridge, we connect with God, and we know what God wants us to do.
I appreciated how easy that figure was to relate to. We live right here on the Ohio River. There are bridges just about every direction we look. And something that people in our church family use all the time, just today, I have already been across the bridge a couple of times there and back. And what a powerful way of thinking here in the middle of the week in terms that we all can understand. It's one thing to know a bridge is there. It's one thing to, you know, stand within sight of a bridge. I really enjoy photography, and so every once in a while I'll go down on the riverside and photograph bridges from different angles. But I'm not on top of it. I'm not traveling along it. And maybe that's a good way of thinking here in the middle of the week. Undoubtedly, for most everybody who's listening today, it's already been a busy day. It's been a busy week. And it's one thing to know the Bible is there. If I ever need some inspiration or I'm looking for something, I know where to find it. I know where I last left it. One thing to maybe even look at it from a distance and talk admiringly about it to other people. But a good question here in the middle of the week, have I actually been on that bridge? Have I used that bridge as a way of getting to know God better? I really appreciated in the middle of the sermon, you used a simple illustration teaching the point that once you know the author, it changes everything. Why don't you retell that?
Sure. As an old story I heard a long time ago, but it was about this college girl who's dating a fellow student. And in their early dating, they were talking about the classes they took. And she was taking some kind of advanced biology class. And she made the point how terrible the book was. It was just a boring book, and she had tried multiple times to read that book, and she just couldn't get it. She would fall asleep. She'd read it in her dorm room. She'd go to the library. She'd sit outside underneath a tree, and she just came to the conclusion it was probably one of the worst authors of all time to write that book. And so in discussing this with her boyfriend, she said there was one common factor that was good about the book, and that is the book's author was the same last name as her boyfriend. And in talking, she found out that it was the boyfriend's father who actually wrote the book. And all of a sudden, that changed everything. And all of a sudden, she went back with fresh eyes and started reading that book. And all of a sudden, the book changed. It was no longer boring to her. And all of a sudden, she could see that this is really a helpful study, a helpful book. And it's that concept with the Bible that's true for us. When all we see are rules and commands and do this and don't do that, the Bible can just seem like just like reading a rule book of golf or basketball, how tedious and boring it can be. But when we get to know the author, and we know how much he loves us, how much he's done for us, what he has in store for us coming down the road, all of a sudden the book takes on a whole new difference for us. How fresh and exciting it becomes, and how exciting we become because we have fallen in love with the writer of the book.
Getting to know the author. When you told that story, that stuck with me throughout Sunday afternoon, and I remember driving back from lunch, back to the church building, and I was thinking about how it has never been easier to see behind the scenes with modern day authors. You know, I know you remember a day where you might hear a recommendation about some book, and so you would go to an actual bookstore. You wouldn't order it online. You would go find that bookstore, and you would get the book you were looking for, and you could read from cover to cover and be fascinated by the book, really appreciate the book, but know very little about the author. Maybe just what's on that back cover, just a paragraph or two. But in 2020, you know, we live in this era where now if something fascinates me, some idea intrigues me, long before I might even buy the book, I look into the author, and I can follow him on Twitter, I can like her on Facebook, I can see Instagram photos, I can maybe listen to a podcast, a variety of different ways of getting to know the person. And when I thought about that, what that does for me at least is, as I read what that author has said on the printed page, if I've listened to a podcast, I can picture their voice. It's like I can hear their voice over the written page. If I have gotten to know a little bit about their family, where they're from, what they enjoy, that just deepens the reading experience. What a powerful way of looking at the Bible, that this is much, much more than, like you've said, just reading an encyclopedia or a boring golf rules book or something like that. But I'm reading in order to come to know God, come to know the author.
Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, says, who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Basically, what Paul's saying is, I don't know what you're thinking, and you don't know what I'm thinking. Now, we can guess, but we really don't know. He goes on, even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Then in the following verses, Paul says, we have received that Spirit. So the Bible is more than just a rule book or a book of life. The Bible is the mind of God revealed. God is saying, this is who I am. God is introducing himself to us. And when we travel that bridge and we connect with God, we find out this is what God's like. Now, here's the problem if we don't do that. There's a lot of people out there have all kinds of ideas about God. There's all kinds of theories and myths and everything, but not crossing that bridge, that Bible, they're liable to believe all kinds of things that's not true, speculations, error, and it's all based upon, well, I thought so. No one knows the thoughts of God except God. And that's what God has revealed.
I like how there in 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul goes so far as to say, we have the mind of Christ. What an amazing emphasis on what we're talking about, that as we open up the letter, for instance, of 1 Corinthians, or we survey what God has done in the Old Testament, or we sit at the feet of Jesus in the Gospels, what we are beholding is the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And so you put these ideas together, and it's such a powerful thing to think about in the middle of the week, that as I read the Bible, I am reading in order to know God. And once I know the author, that changes everything. The more that I come to know God, the more I am being taught to be like Jesus.
In our lesson Sunday, we also talked about some things the Bible is not intended to do. And again, misunderstanding that, misunderstanding the purpose of that bridge can get us into trouble. So one of the things we mentioned is the Bible is not intended to answer every single question that we have. We have all kinds of questions about life. You know, why are some tall? Why are some short? Why are some shy? Why are some outgoing? Why do some live in Africa? Why do some live in America? Zillions and zillions of questions. And you might have heard people say, well, look in your Bible, there's the answer. Well, the Bible is not intended to answer every single question we have. Also, we talked about the Bible doesn't answer how God did things, the details. I mean, we read Genesis 1, and all we find is that God said, and then it happened. Well, what was all the physics behind all that? What was all the chemistry behind all that? God doesn't tell us. Number one, we probably couldn't understand it if he did. Number two, it'd probably take a truck to carry that book because it'd be so big. And so, again, that's not the purpose. And then we also reminded ourselves, and this is something I think we really got to think about, is that the Bible is not a giant crystal ball that gives me specific instructions about my future. So should I marry this girl or not? Should I buy this house or not? Which kind of dog should I get? And we'll look in our Bibles, and the Bible's not going to tell those kind of specifics. How long am I going to live? Those kind of questions a lot of us have. And so what that takes us to then, if that's not what the Bible's about, what is the Bible supposed to do?
The Bible, you referenced in your sermon toward the end, Psalm 86, verse 10, emphasizing you are great, speaking of God. You do wondrous things. The Bible introduces us to God, who is great, who does wondrous things. And you referenced a passage from Deuteronomy 6 where Moses emphasizes that what God has commanded us, he has taught us to fear him and teach us that what he does, what he has told us, it is for our good always. What a powerful promise that what God does, he does for our good always.
So God's not up in heaven thinking, how can I make their lives miserable? God's not saying, okay, let's just stack up a whole bunch of rules and just weigh them down. That's not God. And again, once you cross that bridge and really know who God is, you understand that. You come to trust him. You come to see all the wonderful things he has done and is doing and will do. And so the main purpose of the Bible is to connect us to God. Through that, we find Jesus. Through that, we find salvation. And those are the powerful things that we see. One of the things we also mentioned in our lesson about the Bible is that the more the Bible is in you, the more you become like Jesus. And that's one of the things the Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, that God wants us to be conformed to his image. How do I do that? I cross that bridge. I pour that Bible into my life. And also along that line, the more the Bible's in me, the less the world's going to be in me. And so we sometimes struggle with right and wrong, and we sometimes struggle with attitudes and things like that. Getting that right spirit, following Jesus as we see him described to us in his Gospels, that will help us mold ourselves and get the character we need as we think about following him.
Being like Jesus is precisely what the adversary of our souls does not want. And so maybe a last thing in this look backwards. You had in that sermon some ways that Satan tries to keep us off of God's bridge. And even if someone was here in person and heard that sermon, or they listened through the podcast feed or watched the video, I think that's worth just briefly recapping here in the middle of the week, because you know, from Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon was busy, Sunday evening, Monday morning, everything just immediately took off as far as the work week was concerned. We were at work or school all day Monday. Tuesday's been hectic, and before I know it, it's already Wednesday. And maybe without even realizing it, I haven't been on that bridge since Sunday morning. You mentioned, number one, you already know the Bible, so you don't have to read it. Maybe a subtle lie that keeps us off that bridge, or you're too busy, or the Bible is too big to bother with, or the Bible is too old to matter, the Bible's too boring to enjoy, the Bible is too hard to understand. I might not actually say that with my mouth, but practically speaking, that's where I am here in the middle of this week.
And Satan knows what that bridge is.
Yeah.
Satan knows where that bridge will take us. And that's why Satan will do all he can to play with your mind, play with your schedule, do all kinds of stuff just to keep you off that bridge. Here in this congregation, we have a daily Bible reading program, and you can connect to that on our website. You may say, well, you know, the month's about over. I've already missed it. Just jump in where we are and just start reading. Get on that bridge and start reading. Because when you put that Bible into your life, good things happen.
We just recently began the Gospel of Luke, and that's what a great place to jump right in, where we are in the earliest stages of what Luke tells us about Jesus. Most every weekday, we have an Old Testament chapter, a New Testament chapter. It may be that right now you just follow the New Testament portion of that, and just over the course of the rest of February and into March, you walk with Jesus through the Gospel of Luke. On Sundays and Wednesdays, we read a psalm. On Saturday, we read Proverbs. And all of that is designed to get us on that bridge. I love the simple three-part formula that I think we can take away from that very good lesson on Sunday. We read God's Word as a bridge. We read it in order to come to know God, and the more we know God, the more we become like Jesus. Definitely something to think about in the middle of the week. Roger, any closing thoughts from that particular lesson?
You know, it's just a matter of doing it. You know, and there's just no way around it. You know, the old Nike commercial, just do it. And that's what you have to do. And you know, as you have these plans to read your Bible, Satan's going to throw you curveballs. You'll say, well, in the morning, I'm going to get up an hour early. I'm going to read the Gospel of Luke, a couple chapters, say a little prayer. And before you get up, the dog's throwing up, something's happening, the kids can't find their shoes, and there goes your schedule. That's Satan trying to keep you off that bridge. And so you got to work around that, and you got to overcome those things, and you got to get back to that bridge. Just realize, I want to be on the other side. The other side is where God's at. To get to him, I've got to cross the bridge.
It's a journey worth making. We need fuel to get there. We've talked a lot about that on this podcast. And God's Word is that powerful fuel. I appreciate you looking backwards with me. We are already looking forward to this weekend. There's a lot of work already going along for that. I've got the privilege of preaching this Sunday morning, and I'm actually going to bounce right off of where we are in our daily Bible reading from the Gospel of Luke. One of the fascinating questions that comes up very early on in Luke's Gospel and continues all the way through is the question of the identity of Jesus. Who do you say Jesus is? Jesus even asked the question directly to some of his apostles. Who do men say that I am? And then he pivoted it to, but who do you say that I am? That's still a relevant question. If he's just a historical figure, well, take him or leave him. If he was just an amazing teacher, okay, well, maybe listen to him or not. But if he's more, the more we escalate that, the more we dig into Luke's gospel and discover just who he is, the more serious the stakes are in how we answer that question. And so we would love to have you at 9:30 a.m. this coming Sunday morning at Charlestown Road, about 10 minutes after that service concludes, usually right around 10:45. We'll have Bible classes for all ages, infants all the way to multiple classes for adults. We would love to have you come and get on that bridge with us. Roger, you're scheduled to speak that evening at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we want to continue our theme for the year, which is Now I See. 2020 is the year we're in. We're talking about God's perspective, seeing things from the way God sees them. We've already addressed several specific topics, such as the church, such as baptism, such as how does God see us. We now want to talk about the subject of marriage. How does God see marriage? And we're going to title this, As God Sees Marriage. And we're going to be basing it upon the book of Malachi. And in Malachi, this principle comes up that the people were hating what God loved. And we'll just kind of walk through that a little bit then.
A lot to look forward to. If you have not had the opportunity to watch or listen to Roger's sermon from this past Sunday morning, The Bridge That God Built, that's freely available at charlestownroad.org, charlestownroad.org. Lord willing, this Sunday we will be live streaming those sermons. We'll archive them afterwards. There are so many resources to get you on that bridge, to help you take another step each day, a little more knowing God, a little more like Jesus. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're already looking forward to Sunday. It is the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us. Have a great day.